The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. I'm very frustrated.
Why?
We have been trying. I was, when you were gone last week, and you were here a week ago Friday, mm-hmm. when Seattle City Hall got spray painted.
Yes.
But I don't know if we knew who did it on Friday. So it was a 13-year-old girl, and she was with these climate activists, and she spray painted on this beautiful, I don't know if it's marble or stone, but there are these stairs that go up from the sidewalk to Seattle City Hall. And there was a 25-year-old guy who gave her the spray paint can, and she spray painted it. And she got hauled off in handcuffs by Seattle police, the 13-year-old girl. And here's a little bit of that.
Get her. Get her out of here. We're not going to play this game. Take her to the precinct.
What the
f***?
What the
f***? What the f***? What the
f***? Okay, so she was really upset that she was being put in handcuffs. Then she started sobbing. And I was very critical because the 25-year-old guy was taken to jail and the girl was released to her parents. And I said, you know, if parents are and at the time, I didn't know to what extent the parents were supportive of this girl's activism. But I said, I don't understand when parents, you know, allow their kids to be used by zealots. And so but I said some very critical things. And so, as I always try to do, we've invited the mom and the daughter to come on the show because, you know, I was talking about this a little bit yesterday. I think it'd be healthy for her to hear another perspective on all of this. And perhaps
for you to also hear a different perspective. I mean, if there was something that they want to explain that we don't know.
Of course. I would be very respectful.
Sure.
Because she seems like a very articulate kid.
Uh-huh.
And so the mom, because of the critical things said by me and by another host here that were on the My Northwest stories, the mom's very upset at us. I guess I understand that. And she, you know, has sent Nicole the links to those My Northwest stories just to say that no, she's not going to come on. Here's my frustration, and I've talked about this a lot over the years. The reason this 13-year-old girl, whose name I've never said, the reason she was in the news is because the climate activists with whom she was working recorded video of her getting handcuffed and then put that video on Facebook in an attempt to smear the Seattle Police Department for doing their job. And I'm sure that they are just in a constant echo chamber that the cops are evil and the world is melting and they never hear any other perspectives. But it was the activist group with which this girl was working that put the video of her being handcuffed. If they hadn't done that, none of us would have heard about this story. It would not have been in the news. It was the people with whom she was consorting who put the video out there. And then, obviously with the mom's assent, the girl went and spoke before the Seattle City Council on Monday and put her name out there. She said her name at the beginning of the. So that's part of the public record now, and that video is out there, even though I've chosen not to say her name. And then on Friday, there was another climate activism thing, and the girl and her mom were down there again. And, you know, the mom's furious that the Seattle police put her daughter in handcuffs.
It felt extreme, especially when you had a young child who was being completely compliant, was clearly contrite, and not a threat to anybody.
That's what the mom told ComoNews.com. Here's my frustration. So the group with which you were working put your video out there of your arrest. Mom allows the girl to put her name out there in front of the Seattle City Council. Mom and daughter go and do another climate activism event a week later, knowing that it would attract press. And now they are apparently very upset with me and this radio show because I dared say critical things, because I dared question the brilliance of spray painting City Hall for climate activism. And this is where I just question And I'm not trying to slam this particular mom. I'm going to say this as a general statement. I question the judgment and wisdom of parents who put social activism above their own kids' well-being. I don't think it's good and healthy for a kid to be in the news like that. And I'm sure she's attracting a lot of negative stuff. But I'm not going to refrain from talking about vandalism at City Hall and protecting Seattle cops for doing their job. And there are a lot of these groups who believe they can use children as human shields, that if they put a kid out front, they are immune from any, not just criticism, from any critical analysis of what they are doing. And putting a child out there does not make you immune. And to think that we should be quiet and critics should never say a word about, you know, $1,000 worth of vandalism and Seattle cops protecting them when they're trying to smear the cops for doing their job. There are other perspectives on climate and cops. And I happen to offer a different perspective than what I'm sure this family hears every single day of their lives. And don't put your kids out there or allow your kids to go out there. I don't know to what extent this kid has sovereignty at age 13. But don't put your kid out there and then be upset if somebody says something critical about what the kid does. And again, I've done it privately. We've reached out, and Nicole has corresponded back and forth with the mom. I would love to get the mom and daughter in here. And of course it would be respectful. And I think it would be fascinating to talk with a 13-year-old kid who has been somehow moved to this level of zealotry about climate activism. And I think it would be healthy for her to hear another perspective and like Ursula said, for me to hear her perspective. But come on. Don't be upset that I am talking about issues of crime and vandalism and police conduct and all of that. No one is immune just because they put a child out front and center. You just aren't. And as always, I would love to give them a chance to talk respectfully. I know they're very upset with me. I get that. But her group, her cause, her parents, her mom, they put her out there or allowed her to put herself out there. And I don't think that's a great idea. I think kids should be kids, but that's just me. Okay, with that as mere prelude, let's get to your big lead.
The big lead, big local.
So as we told you a couple of hours ago, two new polls out today. Jay Inslee at 0% in a new Iowa corn kernel poll, and then a brand new CNN poll out this afternoon. Jay Inslee at 0%. And do we know, Ursula? I meant to ask this off the air. Have we gotten from our news desk? Have we gotten any update or insight from the Inslee campaign about, you know, statements why he's still out there? All the other 0%ers, or a lot of them, have folded the tent. Do we know why he's still out there?
I think he's still hoping that he can raise enough small donors, get enough small donors to chip in to qualify him.
He's got them. He sent out a press release.
Okay, then I think that was it. He doesn't think he really has a chance. Again, I think he's just trying to use it as a platform for message.
Because he sent out a press release several hours ago that they got the 130,000 donors.
I saw that yesterday.
That's one threshold.
Okay, yeah. Yes.
The other threshold is you have to be either 2 or 3% in several polls.
2%,
okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's at 0% in every poll. He's got no chance. And so have you seen the picture that's up at My Northwest?
I have to go look at it.
Okay. Everybody should go look at it. It's a community center in Grimes, Iowa, where Jay Inslee was speaking a few days ago. And there's a stand that has signs that point to all the different rooms in the senior or community center. Blaker birthday party, room 106. Holmes birthday party, room 205. Fine family reunion, room 202. Overton baby shower, room 402. Governor Jay Inslee banquet hall. And the guy who sent this to us, he was in Iowa on work, and he said he went back there and there were less than a dozen senior citizens sitting there waiting for Jay Inslee to come in and talk.
Did you already mention how many corn kernels he got?
He got 120 out of 66,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is 0%.
No, 0.2. Yeah, 0.2.
Yeah, doesn't even get you up to 1%.
He did better than Tim Ryan and Bill de Blasio.
Jeez, that's a trio of losers there. Actually, I kind of like Tim Ryan. Tim Ryan seems like an okay guy. So, we got to find out what his end game is. And then there's one other thing I wanted to mention about our governor while I'm at it. So he sent out a tweet. He's very upset that Israel didn't allow Rashida Tlaib and Omar. Ah, shoot. I should have notes in front of me. Ilhan Omar. That's it. He was very upset that Israel wouldn't let them come in and rail against Jews and Israel because they are a pair of anti-Semites. And what Israel told Tlaib is, you want to come visit your 90-year-old grandma, come on in, and as long as you don't, you know, smear us while you're here. And because she said that. She said, can I come visit my grandma? I promise I won't speak out against you. And they said, yeah, sure. They called her bluff. And then she said, I'm not going to be silenced by you. And she was crying at a press conference yesterday. And Jay Inslee sent out a tweet how upset he is that Israel wouldn't allow these women to come in, that they essentially had a travel ban against them. And one listener wrote me and said, hey, what about Jay Inslee? He had a travel ban against Mississippi. He wouldn't allow any state employees to travel on state business to Mississippi. And I don't know how or why any state employees would have to go to Mississippi. And then when North Carolina passed a law that Jay Inslee didn't like, I won't allow any state travel to North Carolina either. So if a state passes a law that Jay Inslee doesn't like, he will impose a travel ban. But if Israel says we're not going to let anti-Semites come into our country and rail for a boycott of Israel and who have cheered and want the destruction of Israel, and if Israel says, yeah, we're not going to do that, Jay Inslee all of a sudden has a problem with travel bans. Is that just a tiny bit hypocritical? Oh, and then also very exciting news. I don't know what your weekend plans are, but Liz Warren is going to do a town hall fundraiser here in Seattle. Pocahontas herself. And I'm just always amazed how many guilt-ridden leftists there are in this region. Any Democrat wants to come out here and pick up a few $100,000? There are all these people who are just mortified by their own wealth in Medina and Hunts Point and everywhere else. And so they host these big fundraisers. Buttigieg wants to come out here. Oh, yeah, take our money. Liz Warren, take our money. Biden, money. We got all the money. Every candidate, every Democrat, come out here to the Seattle area. And we've got guilt-ridden Microsoft multimillionaires who will are just waiting to share their wealth with you. Because you got a D next to your name. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Big local.
This is incredible. A giant homeless camp has popped up near Green Lake. And Mayor Jenny Durkin has come out because the people are so upset in this neighborhood. Michelle Atwood helps run this homeless encampment for share.
If they're sober, if they can abide by the rules and do their fair share of the work, we want them to come in because well, they deserve shelter.
Okay, and somebody who lives in the camp talked about why they set up there.
Without shelter, people die. And with our host, we didn't have anywhere to go. And so we are doing this to make a stand and to keep people safe.
Okay, but the neighbors are understandably very anxious and upset about this because where these homeless camps are, crime skyrockets. It is just a fact of the matter. And Cairo 7 News talked to a neighbor.
I struggle with it. We'll keep on walking this way during the day, and when my wife wants to go on walks at other times of the day, she's already decided that she's going to go a different path.
They know they have to avoid it for safety reasons. So Mayor Jenny Durkan says that she is evaluating the best approach after this unsanctioned homeless camp popped up near Green Lake. How do they not have policies and procedures in place to deal with this immediately? What do you mean, Madam Mayor? What do you mean that you are evaluating the best approach? There's a statement that Cairo 7 got from the mayor's office. You're telling me this has been the dominant issue in Seattle throughout our region for longer than you've been mayor. There has been no issue more prominent. And you still don't have an automatic approach. You do not have a policy in place. Because everybody knows what the best approach is. And it is, we do not tolerate any public camping on any public space. If a church wants to do it, they're a private entity. They can do it. If a private business wants to do it on their property, they can do it. But we do not tolerate any public camping in our parks, on our public beaches, on public right-of-ways, on this strip of land near Green Lake that the city owns. We do not tolerate it. And your choices are to pack up, move away from there. And I know everybody says, where will they go? Well, ideally, they will go outside of the Seattle region. But because we have made this the easiest place in the country, well, along with San Fran and L.A., the easiest places in the country to be homeless, you can use drugs without any fear of prosecution. You can shoplift and know that you won't be chased, know that the cops will get suspended if they tackle you with an ice axe that you've just shoplifted. You can use drugs here. You can shoplift here. You can camp on public spaces. Of course, we're one of the worst cities in the country for all of these problems. And Jenny Durkan still doesn't know what to do about it? They haven't in the years that she's been mayor, they don't have an automatic response. I'm telling you right now, that was shocking that they are evaluating the best approach when this camp popped up near Green Lake. This is very revealing of how ineffective Jenny Durkan is as a mayor and as a steward of our city and of citizen safety. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Go check out that Jay Inslee photo. Go to MyNorthwest.com, the Dory Monson show page. We are going to check the news. And then our favorite sound bites of the day, awesome audio, coming up next. And I have said this so many times, but whenever we do have an economic downturn, Seattle is going to get hammered harder than any city in the country. And I truly, truly believe that and mean that. And here's yet another example. This is from the Capitol Hill blog. Sizzle Pie, which is based in Portland, but they have locations all around Nevada and Oregon and Washington, or the Capitol Hill location. They are closing the Capitol Hill location and a sister venue called Dark Bar. And they said that the reason is because the continually rising overhead and operating costs in Seattle have brought us to the very difficult decision to close this location. They also mentioned the soda pop tax as a big factor. And I'm telling you, if companies that are succeeding and thriving everywhere else in the country cannot make it in Seattle in the boom time that we're in right now, can you imagine the carnage we're going to see among small business when we do have that inevitable economic downturn. It is going to be ugly around here, because between the, you know, the property values, of course, but the things government controls, taxation, the minimum wage, the flex scheduling, the soda pop tax, you put all these burdens on business and they're either barely getting by or not able to make it in a boom time. Whew. Seattle is going to get hammered when things turn around here. And with that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Okay, we talked about the Trump gambit to buy Greenland. And while I thought it was a joke when it was first floated last week, the president said, no, we actually have looked into it. And then I started doing a lot of research and analysis the last couple of days. And I thought, why not? Why wouldn't you at least explore that? Maybe Denmark says no. They have indicated they would. But I don't know why it's such a stupid idea. We bought Alaska from the Russians, the Louisiana Purchase, the U.S. Virgin Islands. We've made a lot of big land acquisitions. Why not? Why not explore that? Conan O'Brien, he gave his reasoning why Greenland is definitely for sale.
Number three.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Greenland is a territory of Denmark, and the Danish prime minister said Greenland is not for sale. But if there's anything I've learned from watching hundreds of hours of Property Brothers, saying it's not for sale is the classic opening gambit. That means you're ready to go. Yeah? Greenland is definitely for sale. And ladies and gentlemen, if we don't move fast, some other country is going to overpay for it. Yeah, China, that looky-loo is going to come in all cash, snatch it up. So, all right, Denmark, you want to play hardball? I'm ready to sweeten the deal. There's a couple of ways we could do it. First, we could do a straight trade, Greenland for Florida, okay? Yeah. Trust me, this is our best state. And please do not Google Florida.
And then Conan announced that he's going to go to Greenland.
And here's the best part. To make sure this purchase goes through, I, Conan O'Brien, am going to personally travel to Greenland, okay? I'm going to be the first American host to visit Greenland since Arsenio Hall did a week of shows there in 1989. That's right. Yeah. It was a great week. Fantastic week. You see that week?
I do.
Belle Biv DeVoe was on. That's right. I'll be, look it up. That's right. I'll be headed there as part of Conan Without Borders. And you can follow me on teamcoco.com. Yeah, it's going to be an amazing trip. And here's my promise. If I do not make this deal to purchase Greenland, if I do not make this deal, I, Conan O'Brien, will never, ever again step foot on American soil.
All right, let's get her done. Number two in our awesome audio, Joe Biden's wife, Jill Biden. This is pretty damning. Here's her assessment of why Democrats should vote for her husband.
Number two.
So, yes, you know, your candidate might be better on, I don't know, health care than Joe is. But you've got to look at who's going to win this election. And maybe you have to swallow a little bit and say, okay, I sort of personally like so-and-so better. But your bottom line has to be that we have to beat Trump. You know, you may like another candidate better, but you have to look at who is going to win. And if education is your main issue, Joe is that person.
You have to swallow a little bit to vote for Joe. Wow. At number one, a dog has saved its owner from a shark attack?
Number one.
We did it about 10 minutes. And about the first 5 minutes, I wasn't able to get anything. It just kept taking line. I thought I was going to lose all my line.
Once he got it into shallow water, James saw why. It was a 7-gill shark, a good 6 feet long, says James.
And I'm trying to get a hold of it to take the hook out. And as I'm trying to get the hook out, it turns, it pivots, and grabs onto the inside of my left ankle. There's blood everywhere. Like, it, the first bite punctured the artery. So, and that's what I knew. I'm like, okay, this isn't just going to be a little couple scratch. This is pretty bad.
James yelled at some nearby fishermen for help, but before they could make it to him, someone else did.
Darby, come here.
Darby.
Come on.
His one-year-old pit bull.
If it wasn't for him, it could have gone a lot worse.
James had left Darby in the car while he fished, but hearing James yell, Darby somehow managed to get the door open and race to him.
Ran down the embankment, grabbed hold of the shark behind the gills and started thrashing his head, which made the shark bite harder. So I told him to back off. I said, no. So I kept trying to get it off. He grabbed it by the tail and ran up that way with it and pulled it off my leg.
And you can see little spots here where the teeth were.
James believes Darby's quick instinctual intervention saved his leg from even more damage, may have even saved his foot.
Come on, Darby.
And this dog, who James had affectionately named the House Hippo, has probably earned a new nickname and definitely earned a whole lot of love.
He's been a part of the family since day one, but now he's just a little bit more.
That's a good doggy that went after the shark. That's our awesome audio, and today's sign is coming up next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And still more to do on this glorious afternoon with today's edition of...
Today's sign that the end is near.
Today's sign, the world is soon coming to an end. Dateline Hollywood. That's where they have all those Hollywood types, you know. So actress Alyssa Milano, she's in the news a lot because she just despises the president. But she just figured out another way to keep her worthless name in the news. So Alyssa Milano just did an interview with Yahoo News. Yahoo News. And Alyssa Milano says that in 1993, she got an abortion because she wasn't ready to be a mom. And then a few months later, in 1993, Alyssa Milano got another abortion because she wasn't ready to be a mom. Two abortions in 1993. And now she writes about her. She told Yahoo. She said, quote, 15 years after that first love had fizzled, my life would be completely lacking all its great joys. I would never have been free to be myself. And that's what this fight is all about. Freedom. So... So if she hadn't gotten two abortions in a span of a few months in 93, her life would be completely lacking all of its great joys today. Unless those children had brought you great joy. I mean, my wife and I, we had a kid in, 93. One in 93, one in 94. They're two of the sources of great joy in my life. So maybe it would have, and she's got kids with, they're much younger. She had kids 20 years later. But geez, what a way to keep yourself in the news. And two in 1 year? Really? And she says, well, I was on the pill, but it didn't work. And then she went back on the pill and it didn't work. Well, if it didn't work the first time, that's why her story is so phony. If you're on the pill and it didn't work, why would you have trusted the pill a few months later? But she claims she was on the pill for both abortions. Hey, sister, if a form of birth control doesn't work one time, maybe you should try a different form instead of sticking with that. That's why her story's so phony. It's just so phony. Do anything to get in the news. Today's sign story number two, as you know, our show broke the story several years ago of how the oldest person in the world, shortly after attaining that lofty status, would die. And in every case, they claimed that it was natural causes. But no, I believe that there is a shady Illuminati group that snuffs the oldest person in the world. And that's why I'm almost nervous to report this story. The world's oldest living pet, Tommy the Tortoise, just celebrated his 121st birthday. Tommy was born in 1898. He's almost as old as Joe Biden. And he's been in Sheila Flores's family since 1909.
Happy 121st birthday, Tommy. Hello, my name is Sheila. This is my beautiful tortoise, Tommy, and it's her birthday today. She's 121 years old. Wow. She'll be getting tortoise weeds, and especially she loves buttercups grown in the garden. She's been through the family all these years, and we all love her to bits. Why has she lived so long? Because she's very well looked after, and she's fed the proper food for tortoises. What does the future hold for Tommy? I hope many, many more years. She could live until she's 170. Family do know in time she will have to be passed to them. And maybe their children.
And then in a separate interview, Tommy the Tortoise said that he considers the success of longevity to an afternoon shot of whiskey and a cigar. But no more than one shot, he says. And then finally, in today's sign, in Newburgh Heights, Ohio, there was a massive blaze in a neighborhood. This happened just yesterday. A homeowner was using a blowtorch on some weeds around his home when he accidentally set his truck on fire. When the truck caught on fire, it exploded, and that explosion sent burning debris toward three houses. All three homes caught on fire. So the guy lost his weeds, lost his truck. Three people lost their homes. I've told you my story. When I tried to kill moles with gasoline and I had towers of flame coming out of the mole holes. But I didn't set any houses on fire. I just snuffed the moles, crying out loud. All of that is today's sign. The end is near. Whew, I got to get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for today. But I'll think up a bunch of new stuff for Wednesday's show. Candy Mike and Todd are coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow. I do.
Do you know how much I make a year? I mean, even if I told you, you wouldn't believe it.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.